Hey everyone, welcome to another Hyperspace Broadcast minisode, an episode where instead of discussing something that aired on Toonami, we discuss something kind of Toonami adjacent. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And this week, actually, we are going to discuss something that eventually aired on Toonami, like modern Toonami, that is One Punch Man. We watched the first season, which is available on Netflix. Even though there is an English dub, for whatever reason, it's not available on Netflix, probably some kind of rights issue. So we watched the subtitled version, and it's a fun little show, and I guess we're going to talk about it right now. That's what we do on this podcast. Peter?
Indeed. Well, this is a just a crazy show that just is kind of making fun of shonen fighting anime from the beginning, right?
Like it's very much a parody. It began its life as a webcomic in 2009, being created by a person who goes by the name One. An actually awesome name, and it sort of became a viral hit, and eventually there was a manga adaptation of the comic with, I believe, more of a storyline. And then, obviously, there was an anime adaptation of the manga in 2015. And it's a story about a guy named Saitama, who is the titular One Punch Man. Basically, he is a superhero who is so powerful that any enemy can be defeated in a single blow. And that pretty much holds up through the whole series. Like, nothing...
And he is just so bored because of it. Nothing is fulfilling, just completely bored. He explains at one point that he trained so hard that he lost his hair,
right?
So he kind of looks like Doug Funny. He actually has a lot of Quail Man comparisons, except like just a very lanky, normal looking guy. Absolutely does not look strong at all. Unless sometimes he's drawn like really like badass and strong, I guess. But usually he's just kind of there.
Generally speaking, he's drawn quite simply. But when he's really fired up for any particular reason, he becomes drawn like more detailed and, cool looking, which is a fun little touch. The story is mostly about him just kind of being a hero for fun, because that's what he does. And he ends up sort of unintentionally taking this cyborg named Genos under his wing to act as his mentor, even though he doesn't really have anything to offer except like basic strength training stuff. And then he eventually joins this hero association, which is like a, network of superheroes, and has to rise through the ranks because despite the fact that he's incredibly powerful, he absolutely sucked on the written portion of the test, like the application test. So he has to start all the way at the bottom, and people don't really believe that he's that strong because no one actually sees him fighting monsters because it's always over so quickly. And there's a bunch of other fun characters, like Moomin Rider, the best character in anime possibly, who's just a guy who rides a bicycle with a big basket in the front, but is technically a superhero.
He's a Kamen Rider parody. Like the badass lone motorcyclist, except he's just a guy on a bicycle and he has no powers.
He's just a normal guy.
He's very enthusiastic and he just gets his ass kicked.
So the show, I mean, it really does start off as kind of a parody. I think that over the course of the first season, like, it becomes less jokey as it goes on. Like, it's still not quite, it's not like getting to fucking Man of Steel levels of seriousness, but it still like kind of becomes a serious story later on because, he's fighting off this alien invasion and shit.
I think one thing that's great is that they realize, you think, when I heard the concept, I was like, oh, that sounds neat, but it seems like it's going to be a one-note thing. Like, I've seen a lot of Japanese comedy stuff that just, like, to me, seems like it's just doing the same joke over and over again.
Yeah. Like Dragon Ball Z, for example. That would be...
yeah, well, sometimes. So I thought maybe that would be... maybe that would be the case with this. Like, oh, yeah, it's always going to be, here's the big monster. They're super powerful. They're destroying everything. Oh, my God. And then Saitama comes in and punches him, and it's like, ah, that's so funny. It was so easy. But actually, they don't do that. They basically just do that for, like, the first episode.
Yeah.
Like, kind of the gag. And
yeah,
then
yeah.
From there, it starts branching out, and you get, like, the new characters. And they actually have, like, really cool fights and great animation, at least in the first season. I've heard the second season is kind of whatever.
So.
But
yeah.
Yeah, and it's like really fun, like meeting these ridiculous side characters.
Yeah, who, to be fair, like, well, I would say about half of the side characters feel like they could very easily fit into, you know, like a more straight example of this kind of show.
Yeah,
and then the other half are like
the martial
really
arts
silly.
Master.
Yeah, or the, like, you know, telekinetic girl who fucking wrecks shit, or
The ninja guy who is edgy and pissed off.
Yeah, and evil. But then, you know, among them, you also have, what's the kid's name? There's, like, just a child who's,
Emperor.
Like, a genius. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he always has a lollipop in his mouth. Or
there's a guy who's, like, basically the stereotype of it. He's, like, kind of the Yusuke Urameshi stereotype of, like, the like teenage punk kid who's the baseball bat.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, that's totally what that's playing on, actually. I didn't even yes, and his name's like Bat Guy or something. Like,
yeah,
a lot of them have really lame names, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, there's one character who's a bit of an offensive gay stereotype.
Oh,
in fairness,
only a little bit, and that he is explicitly put in jail because he attacks men that he finds attractive. There's nothing offensive about that.
That one's a bit much.
I got pretty tired of that, unsurprisingly. Although I do appreciate that the character's name is Puri Puri Prisoner, which is basically Pretty Pretty Prisoner. And it just reminded me of whatever that dumbass magical girl show that I didn't like very much was. the one that was part of a huge franchise and they were all baking cakes and shit.
Oh. Yeah, dude. Fuck, man, I don't even remember.
I'm okay with that.
You guys know the one we're talking about. It, you know, someone's nodding their head back there. Yeah, it's that giant series of... it's an acronym. Who gives a shit? Not an acronym, but a...
Pretty Cure.
That's right. Shitty portmanteau. Yeah, Precure.
Anyway, now that we've dug ourselves into that hole, let's see if we can get out. I think, honestly, like, I don't really want to talk too much about this show just because I think it's worth watching generally.
Yeah, like, I think so for sure.
I will, you know, offer the caveat that, Pretty Pretty Prisoner is... Yeah, I was offended. Like, I was not particularly happy with that character. I think that other than that, it's not really... There's not a whole lot that's going to be annoying or, like, dated about it, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a character that's, like, it's not great. It's just whatever. Like, it's not, he's not hated on for being gay, but he is presented as the most absurd and kind of gross stereotype of that.
Yeah, right.
But
that's really the thing. But
yeah, and it's not too much in the series either. It's just
kind of
a
he's
gag
not
character
in it
who shows
that
up.
Much. That does help quite a bit. I will say, I think personally, I kind of preferred the first half of the show. I think there's a point where, like, the show is still good, but I do appreciate more the beginning when it's much more jokey. And, like there's this whole episode that's centered around this idea that there's the one area of City Z that is, like, a ghost town because powerful monsters keep congregating there, and it keeps getting wrecked up. And so, like, these Hero Association guys go to investigate, and it's just where Saitama lives because, you know, all of the wreckage that he's caused kind of stays there.
Yeah, right.
And monsters are
City's,
like, have heard the rumor themselves, like, oh, I hear a lot of powerful monsters are showing up here, so I guess I should too. It's just this weird kind of self-fulfilling prophecy of like, yep, all right.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny.
And like, this already exists in a world. It's basically like the world of any Power Rangers show or anything like that, where it's like, what would it really be like if just insane world-destroying monsters appeared every week?
Yeah, so, right. I mean, it doesn't quite... Like, that's one of the things that's interesting, but that I didn't like quite as much about the last half, honestly, is, like, the last half, basically, once he joins the Hero Association, there's a lot more focus on the actual, like, consequence of, you know, monsters destroying the city. Like, prior to that, there will be a, you know, monster that's 1,000 feet tall just stomping through the city, but it never really focuses whatsoever on what that actually means. While in the second half, it's more focused on like, oh yeah, like these civilians need to be fucking saved.
I don't know. I didn't think it really put too fine a point on it, I guess. It was just kind of like the implicit death, of which there is very much of, is hand-waved. It's not really like you're not seeing like just horror and sadness and crying all the time. It's just like, yeah, I guess this is just a thing that happens where entire blocks get vaporized in an instant for no reason. And, you know, just really, I just felt like, well, they kind of, yeah, sure, they save people like and try and save civilians, like some of the lower class heroes like Moomin Rider.
Yeah, right.
But I never really got the vibe that it was like serious now, or now there's like deathly consequences to failure.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I'm not saying that it's fully serious, but I do, like, I mean, I don't know. There's one point in particular where, like, Moomin Rider is fighting this giant monster that he has no attempt to beat. Like, he has no chance of possibly beating. And it's not really played for comedy. Like, it's played for drama that he's still fighting because, you know, he's a hero and that's what heroes do. And he's probably going to get killed for it, but, you know, like, that's what you do. And while I don't think that that's bad, and I think it worked quite well, I still kind of preferred, like, before they hit that point in the show.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And again, like, that's not to say that I think that stuff is bad. It, like, the show was consistently good throughout, I would say. But
yeah,
I think the comedy stuff starts to take a little bit more of a backseat.
Yeah, I can agree
near the end of the show. I think that it starts playing things that it would have played for jokes more seriously, while still having jokes, obviously. I mean, I think possibly my favorite is, I think it's in the last episode, there's a scene where, like, the psychic girl, Tornado, has to go out and kill this monster. And, like, throughout the show, there have been just monsters who consider themselves the true rulers of Earth that'll just kind of pop out of somewhere.
Yeah.
It's like, first it's the Subterraneans, then it's, like, the Deep Sea King, then it's the fucking Terror Lizard King, and this is the Terror Lizard King, and of course he's, you know, a giant dinosaur. And he makes some comment like, you're going to have to bring a meteor down to kill me. And that's funny on its own. But what's funnier is that she's just like, all right. And then literally just does that and
drags
kills
a meteor.
Like, I don't know. I thought that was pretty funny. Also, there's a bit where, like, the Air Kingdom invades and they're immediately killed. Like, just this weird diminishing return of these, you know, kingdoms of earthly monsters, I guess, that are defeated fairly easily by something else.
What you pointed out, because you saw the, like, first two episodes before you were, when you were trying to get me to watch it.
And, yeah, the first three.
But... you explained how, like, and you're totally right, the first episode, the villain, it's just like, the beginning is just the villain, like, devastating the place, and it's just like, oh, fuck, what's going to happen? Good God, he's just ruining everything. And the villain is, like, straight up Dragon Ball Z, like he just looks
like Piccolo.
Yeah,
he's
he looks like
Piccolo.
A purple Piccolo with, like, the voice of Frieza, and what I wouldn't be surprised if it was the actual voice of Frieza. I don't do research, but
yeah, sure.
And he's just, like, kicking ass and transforming and getting bigger, and you know, just destroying everything. And then, of course, he just runs into Saitama, who, like, decides to get up and do something because he's lazy.
Yeah, who just beats him easily, of course. Yeah, because yeah, that's the...
This show's fairly gory, episode... too.
Oh, yeah. Holy shit. Yeah, Saitama punching people doesn't just, like, make them turn into a puff of purple smoke.
Yeah.
They, like, usually explode in a mass of blood.
A lot of monster gore.
Yeah, yeah. I do love, like... The first episode is such a great, like, just introduction of the whole basic idea of the show, in that, first of all, obviously, Saitama's just wasting monsters with a single punch over and over again, but also, like, the monsters' backstories get, there's just this diminishing return of, like, the first monster is Vaccine, and he's like... I'm formed from all the pollution that humans have put on Earth, and I'm here to fucking wipe the planet of you people because you're destroying it. And he, like, actually has a thought-out backstory.
Yeah, the human virus.
Yeah, right. And then by the end of the episode, there's a guy who's like, oh, I just loved custom cars so much that I turned myself into a custom car monster.
Which is, like, straight up a Sailor Moon monster.
Yeah, yeah. And that one's also great because his explanation of his backstory is literally, like, in the background over, you know, under Saitama thinking about how boring it is to be able to destroy everything easily.
Yeah, right. He's, like, being talked over, basically.
Yeah, right. It's, I don't know. It's a really fun show, and it's super accessible, so I think we would both recommend it with, I would say, again, the caveat, Puru Prisoner or whatever. Yeah, I was like, I could have done without that. But yeah, he's not in the show that much.
I'm a little more comforted, I guess, that just seeing it's like, well, it's a different cultural standard. They're at a, I don't know if you call it a different place, but it's a different, frame of view. But it's also not cool. So something you just gotta deal with. Everything's got little problematic elements, and that's kind of life, I guess. But
Unfortunately, that's true. But again, with that one caveat, I would say I recommend it.
Like, I highly recommend
it. Definitely check it out. So we're going to be getting into Hamtaro, which I don't recommend.
Ooh,
we haven't watched it yet, and I'm still kind of dreading it. I don't know. Like, maybe it'll be good.
Yeah.
Is there any chance of that?
I was recently reminded that there's, like, a Hamtaro Ham dance or some shit, and I just realized.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Now it's like, ooh, that hurts even worse. they sing and shit? Like, no.
Yeah, that's going to be great. Can't wait for that dubbed anime singing, which is always so wonderful.
Especially 90s dubs, yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh, boy. All right, so Hamtaro next week. Until then, I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And be sure to revisit us next week.